one of the fundamental principles in psychology that suppression is not good. You cannot forcefully suppress the vasanas or the tendencies. You have to direct them higher, which is called sublimation, directing them higher. So suppression is not good, but sublimating them. And how do we sublimate? We'll do in the next verse, which is the process of evolution. Verse number 7. Yastvindriyani manasa niyam yarabate arjuna karmendriyai karma yogam asaktasya vishishyate. Yes, two means but. So there is one person who is unwise, who is renouncing but still brooding, and but there is another person who is the wise person. And what does he do or she? Yes, to that person, yaha, to indriyani manasa. So the indriyas, the sense organs and the organs of action, or the sense organs, here they are talking about sense organs. Indriyani manasa niyamya. So through his mind, he controls his sense organs. So all the impulses that are coming, it's also in the second chapter, Bhagavan says, yada samharate chayam kurmongadniya sarvasha. So just as a turtle withdraws his sense organs, so this wise person, when there is any danger, when the mind is tempted to go out, withdraws his senses, controls his senses with his mind, but he does not control it forcibly. What does he do? Niyamya arabhate. Arabhate means begins what? Arjuna, begins what? Karmendriyai karma yogam. Through the organs of action, he develops karma yoga. What is karma yoga will be the topic of this entire third chapter, briefly we'll mention it here, but the entire third chapter is on karma yoga. So having controlled his senses, not letting his mind run out, because the mind, how does it get strained? By running out. The mind gets, energy gets wasted. So that energy which is conserved, what does he do? Through his karmendriya, he does karma yogam. So through his organs of action, he does karma yoga, and he remains asakta, detached, sa vishishyate, he excels. So from vishishya comes the word vishesha. I think in Hindi there is the word vishesha, which means special. Is it there in other languages too? In Gujarati also, they use the word? Same, yes, vishesha. So vishishyate means who is special, who excels. So having controlled his sense organs through his mind, not letting his mind run out, he then uses that energy to do karma yoga through his organs of action. Such a person excels. So as we said, the mind, when we see an object, modern science says that the light from this object goes through my pupil into my retina and it makes an impression. But our scriptures say that it is the mind that goes out through the eyes and illumines the sight, through the ears, the sound, through the nose, the smell, and so on. So it is the mind that goes out, and that is why I may be looking at somebody and, you know, somebody walks in front of me and smiles, but my mind is on something else. I'm focused on some problem at work, and he walks by and smiles and I don't even reply. And then later on he says, you know what, I walked in front of you, I smiled at you, you didn't even acknowledge it. Why? Because my mind was not there, even though my eyes were seeing this person. So the mind, running out through the sense organs, loses its energy. So when the mind is conserved, when I'm not unnecessarily seeing, unnecessarily talking, gossiping, unnecessarily doing things with my organs, then what happens? That conserved energy And Gurudev in his commentary says, just as a river, once you dam it, say you put a dam and don't allow the water to flow, how long is it going to do that? Water will keep going, 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 and eventually will burst the dam. So what do? Conserving the water, then you direct it into the fields. The water which was being wasted into the ocean is directed into the fields for agriculture, just as we find here in the Sacramento River. A lot of the water is held and then diverted down through the canal so that the whole San Joaquin Valley gets, you know, water for irrigation. So similarly, having controlled my sense organs, what do I do with the energy? Put it in Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is working without I and my, doing unselfish activities dedicated to the Lord without any sense of doership. That is in 2-3 sentences, but the whole chapter is talking about that. So to do Karma Yoga, to live this kind of life, it is very important to set boundaries. In life, we all set boundaries. This I will do, this I will not do, this I will eat, this I will not eat, here I will go, here I will not go, this I will say, this I will not say. And so in life, it is very important for us to set certain boundaries of what is acceptable and what is not. And those boundaries are not arbitrary. I cannot decide. They are based on shastras, based on the scriptures, based on the knowledge, the wisdom given to us by the wise people. And similarly for our children also, we set boundaries. You know, you can stay out only till this time. You have to come home. You have to turn off your cell phone. This is the time to study. This is the time to sleep. But if we ask the child to turn off his cell phone, we have to turn it off too. We cannot be on WhatsApp and then telling our child to study. So there has to be a cell phone free time. At this 1 hour in the evening, everybody plugs their cell phones, and it's family time or on the dinner table, you know, everybody's texting somebody else. So setting boundaries, setting limits for all of us is very important. And as we said, the mind which is suppressed, how do we sublimate it? Turn it higher. So the mind which is going out into the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, instead of forcing it, oh, you will not think of these objects, start thinking about the Lord. Instead of seeing worldly things, you start seeing the Lord. There's a very beautiful chapter in the script which says, Guna Firai Hai. Whatever I do with my eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue, hands, feet, do them for the Lord. Whatever service I'm doing dedicated to the Lord, every place I am going. So turn the mind higher, and such a person is said to be doing Karma Yoga and Asakta. Now Bhagavan has introduced a new term. Asakta means detached. Now when we say detached, we think detached means I won't do it, you go and do it. That is one idea of detached. I don't have to do it. Or other idea, we think detached means does not love. No, detached means I am not focused on, dependent on the action or upon the results. So upon the results is that, okay, whatever happens, I did my best. I am not doing it for a particular goal. Now people may understand, okay, I'm doing unselfish work. I'm doing social work. I'm doing community work. But they are not focused on the results, but they get attached to the actions. Only I can do it. You know, somebody is doing community work and somebody else comes and says, you know, let this person do it. He can do a better job. No, no, no. It is my job. So people either get attached to the actions or get attached to the results of the actions. Gurudev is a very beautiful example of Vairagya. When Gurudev in the late 80s and early 90s, when his health was failing and people were worried, and they were telling Gurudev what will happen. Because at that time, Chinmaya Mission was Chinmayananda, Swami Chinmayananda. Nobody else was active in the mission. He was the one traveling all over the world. It was his ideas and he was inspiring people, and people thought Chinmaya Mission will collapse when Gurudev leaves. And they asked him, and he said, look, if the organization is to sustain, it will. If not, it will not. I mean, he had least anxiety, total vairagya for not, oh, it's my mission and I should run it. But at the same time, he totally prepared for his departure. He created this beautiful institute, Sandipani, in Mumbai, where every 2 years, 40 to 60 students study for 2 years and they come out fully equipped to teach. And we have seen Swami Ishwarananji and Swami Bodhatmanandaji and Vimalji and of course Puja Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda, all the acharyas of Chinmaya mission have been products of that school. So Gurudev was not passively detached, but inside he had no attachment, but at the same time he prepared that this mission should continue. So focus and concentration is very important when we act, because people say, I don't like to do this. You know, we have a lot of likes and dislikes. So the masters tell us that the way to do something you don't like is do it with full concentration. Do it with complete focus. And what will happen? Once you do it with concentration, do a good job, you will start liking it. Activities we don't like is where we don't put in all our effort. And we don't put in all our effort, the action is not successful, and then we get, you know, unhappy, or I don't like this, why did this happen? Why does it have to happen to me? You know, all those things come. So they say, put all your concentration, all your, at the same time, be detached to the results and even detached to the actions. If somebody else can do it better, let him do it. The ability to walk away is detachment. If I, as long as I'm supposed to do, I do it. The day I'm not needed, I walk away without even looking back, without even thinking about it. That is detachment. That is vairagya. So what does attachment do? So Gurudev, I recently read a very beautiful statement from Gurudev. He says, attachment makes us dependent. When I'm dependent on something for my happiness, for my comfort, for my joy, then that dependence is slavery. And that is attachment. And that shackles us, because then we can no longer get out of that bondage. So if I'm able to work without dependence, and dependence could be on a person, could be on a thing, could be on a position, could be on power, could be upon anything, all those things bind us, enslave us, and shackle us. The last point I just wanted to make today is that is a difference between karma and karma yoga. So in India, people say, mujhe to ye lecture mein jaane ki zarurat nahi, hum to karma yogi hain. Say, I don't need to go to all these talks, I am a karma yogi. What do you mean by karma yogi? I work 14 hours a day. Working 14 hours a day does not make you a karma yogi. Guruji says even a smuggler works 14 hours a day, or a bank robber, how they plan. So that does not make them karma yogi. Somebody told a member of Chinmaya Mission, you know, Gurudev used to wake up at 4 o'clock and work. So he says, your Gurudev, he wakes up at 4 o'clock. I also wake up at 4 o'clock. What do you do? I work for my business. Now you cannot compare the two, what Gurudev is doing for the whole world and what he is doing for his business. Just because he wakes up at 4 o'clock and works does not make him a karma yogi. So karma and karma yoga are two different things. Karma is action. Karma yoga, yoga comes from yuj or unite. So actions united with the higher are karma yoga, and actions done for just for me, myself, my family, or my own embellishment to make myself look better are karma. So that is the difference between karma and karma yoga. So we have about 15 minutes. So I thought I will just finish. So basically we did three verses. One is that everybody is forced to act. Even you might be sleeping or sitting, actions go on. The unwise people appear to renounce. They show off as if they are renouncing, but inside their mind is still brooding. They are hypocrites. And then the wise person withdraws from the world, withdraws from the sense organs, but the energy that is conserved, he uses it for service of mankind and purification of mind. So we have a few minutes. Any questions, any comments? Yeah.
You mentioned the necessity or the importance of sequence with karma, yoga, and then non-yoga.
Yes.
Chapter 12 talks in depth about bhakti yoga. Where does that fall in the sequence?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So they are all connected. Karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga, and then the raj yoga, the path of meditation, are all four are connected to each other. So karma yoga is done with the body. The bhakti is done with my mind, where I love God. And then jnana yoga is done with my intellect. And then in meditation, all three are used, body, mind, and intellect. So all three should be directed in the path of the higher. The more you put in, the more successful. So with the body you serve, with the mind you love. So bhakti is the path of the mind. And what they say is they are all connected. Like say if I love somebody, if I love God with my mind, with bhakti, then I want to serve him with my body. And then with my intellect I want to read about him, I want to learn about him. Or somebody who learns about God, then develops love for God and wants to serve God. Or somebody who is serving wants to know who is this God I'm serving, and then gets knowledge and then gets love. So all three are connected. So bhakti yoga is with the mind.
Sometimes it's difficult to stand back and see all three. I understand that it's all sort of a symbiotic relationship.
Right.
Sometimes it's difficult to step back and take a look, especially if in this study we are in this infancy stage of understanding all this.
It's like learning to play basketball. You know, I may physically learn how to play basketball, but unless I have the knowledge, and then unless I love basketball, I won't excel in it. I won't become Michael Jordan or Kobe. I have to love the game. So similarly, to know God, it's not enough to just know him, but also love. So, but predominantly one or the other may be more. Somebody may be predominantly intellectual, has the right, wants to know. Somebody may have a lot of love, be very emotional. Another person is action oriented. He's, I don't believe in reading and all. I go out and build, you know, homes for the homeless. So predominantly you may do one or the other, but ultimately all three, it's like we have talked many times, like the mountain, the paths may be different. Somebody may take a car, somebody may walk, somebody may go by helicopter, but when they reach the top, the view is the same. So similarly, the path to God may be different, but ultimately the experience of all Mahatmas is the same, whether you're reading the Bible or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads. The final experience of all is exactly the same. Just the wordings may be slightly different. So the goal is the same. The paths may be different. And depending on your inclination, one or the other may be predominant. Even Mirabai, even though she was a great devotee of Lord, she still wrote to her guru, what is my duty? What should I do? The people in my house are not letting me go, you know. And so she wrote to him for advice and he told her that when your goal is Krishna, then it doesn't matter what people say. So everything is important, I think. Thank you. And that's good points.
I have a question. You talked about detachment, right? Exactly. In today's world, when, you know, we work so closely in teams, and you know, teams in professional life, and then, you know, even in family, you know, you have dependency on spouses, kids, other relatives. And there is so much dependency on other human beings. There is expectations. And you know, the expectations are sometimes met, sometimes are not met, right? So how do you create that? And when they're not met, it leads to frustration sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's somewhere there is an attachment. If there is a frustration, then there is an attachment.
Right.
Because there cannot be a frustration without an attachment. So how do you overcome that?
So I think there are two or three aspects to this question. One is, say you're working in a team at work. and you are depending on certain individuals to do certain things and certain individuals not to do. But suppose an important member of the team leaves, gets a better job in IBM or something, will your work stop? No, other people will step up. For a while, you may miss that person. So dependence is that if this person is gone, the project will collapse. You know, that's what the, but if the person is gone, other people step in. That's number one. Number two, yes, when the other person is supposed to do his or her duty and does not do it, it does create frustration. But the frustration comes when I am expecting somebody to do something, and by doing something, this person will make me happy. See, whether it's in the family or whether it's in a relationship. So that's what Gurudev always said, do not put the key of your happiness in somebody else's pocket, that if this person talks to me nicely or smiles at me, then I'll be happy. If this person doesn't, or if this person helps me, I'll be happy. If this person doesn't help me. So then what you're doing is you're putting the key of your happiness, and that's why the frustration comes, because I expected this person. So Gurudev says, in, you know, if you read his this calendar every day, he says, know what is to be done and then do it yourself. So if the other person fulfills it, fine. If he doesn't do it, I am ready to do it. But to keep on saying, oh, I am the only one working, nobody else is. I am doing my duty, I am doing my best, because my goal is higher. If the person works, fine. If he doesn't work, that's his problem. But as long as I do my part very well, and I make sure that the project, so if everybody works, that's very good. But if people, even if they don't do it, I should have the courage to continue to do my part and do even more than what is required. Not that you become a doormat where everybody walks over you and nobody does their work. It's not like that. But I do not expect others to make me happy, because I am happiness. See, one is I am unhappy and I become happy by something. Another one is I am happiness. I am Satchit Anand. I am that consciousness, Brahman, that truth, who at this moment is occupying. And my name is Kamal or Neeru or whatever my job is, my designation is. But I am actually that Atman, the Self. And when that is understood, and that one has to constantly remind my ourself that I am not this body. This body is my instrument. This body is my clothes. Vasamsi Jirnani Yatha Vihai. Bhagavan says that very clearly. These are clothes. I have to drop it. So when the body goes down, I'm not going down. So when you understand that, then you develop a healthy detachment from the world, where you can watch this individual functioning. See, if you can do that, that while you are working, you are watching. There is somebody who is, I'm watching this body work. I'm watching this person speak. I'm watching. So it, whole thing looks a play, including my body. See, that is true detachment, where you can even detach from this body sense. Otherwise, you say, I am this body and I detach from everybody, then your detachment is incomplete. I have to even detach from this. This also becomes separate from me, and then that is detachment. Did I answer your question?
I think it's very deep. I think if, what I'm hearing is that if I can see myself as being just yet another individual,
right,
who's playing a role along with everyone else, then I'm a third party, just not involved in all that. And
exactly.
And I'm just an observer.
Observer, right. But you still, observer does not mean you don't work.
Right.
You actually do better job. When you are detached, then you're acting like Gurudev, or you know, people like that. These, look at Swami Ishwarananji, how much he works, how hard he constantly works, constant. Because these people are detached. They do not have this body identification that I am this body. They watch the body functioning, and even till the last breath, Puja Gurudev used to work full. So they can only do that when they detach. Otherwise, you and I, we get so tired. Oh, I'm so exhausted. I did so much, you know, so.
There's one more suggestion. When you work in a team, can you look at the team as a one organ, not you separate? So like your left hand doesn't work as well as your right hand. So if you look at it as a team, as a one organ, so the person who is probably not performing as well as you do, maybe he has some problems. Maybe he doesn't understand what's happening. So if you look at it as a team, as one organ, then you help each other to come to conclusion and finish the work. Rather than saying, I'm doing everything and another person is not finishing his job. Maybe we need to talk to each other, like one unit, instead of me separate from them.
Right. That's a good point.
That means you are detaching yourself with your own desire. And you're just focusing on the work that needs to be done. I mean, it's a hard thing to conceive,
yeah.
But look at the work is more important than the people doing it. So that whole thing should be looked as a one unit, working for some good, wherever it is.
That's a good point. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, we just have a couple of announcements. Swami Chidatmananda Ji will be here June 4th to 7th. He will be speaking on the path of devotional elixir. Topic will be devotion. And that will be June 4th to 7th, 7 to 8:30. So please mark your calendars. And if you wish to offer Diksha to Swamiji, please contact Neeru or anybody else who is organizing. Radhika is organizing, so please contact her if you wish to offer Bhiksha to Swamiji, June 4th to 7th. And then July 25th to 27th, we are very blessed. Swami Swarupananda Ji, who is the worldwide head of the Chinmaya Mission, who is actually based in Bombay but travels all over the world. So we are best blessed that he will be here July 25 to 27. Again, 7 to 8:30, we have three lectures. And the topic is Storm to Perform. Very, very practical, very beautiful text. There's also a book along with that. So Swamiji is a wonderful teacher, a very great devotee of Pujya Gurudev. His words just spill with love and devotion for Gurudev. So it will be a privilege to listen to him. So these are our upcoming programs for the summer. And thank you very much for coming. See you. Oh yes, on June 30th is our anniversary. Gokul was inaugurated in 2006, so it will be 12 years on June 30th. And it also is Pujya Guruji's birthday, Swami Tejomayananda Ji's birthday. So we will be celebrating here in the morning, and Swami Ishwarananda Ji will be coming. So what time are we starting?
10
o'clock. So we'll have the puja, Sudarshan Homa in the beginning, and then Guru Paduka Puja, and then lunch. So it will be a program on June 30th. It is a Saturday. So please mark your calendars, and you can meet Swami Ishwarananji also that day. So these are our summer activities. And see you next Thursday. Hari Om. Huh? Wednesday. I'm so used to Thursday. No, Thursday is for meditation. If somebody wants to learn meditation, please come Thursday, tomorrow evening, 6:30, same time. So every Wednesday we'll be here for the summer, till August 15th, I think, till the middle of August. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Makashitukabhavari. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.